Good morning. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church. I hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and I'm happy that you decided to spend time with us and to worship this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. We have a few announcements. Peter?
Good morning. Draw your attention to in the bulletin about the September 16th meeting. The Adult Education Committee is no more. We are regrouping and re-looking at what we've been offering and how we're doing things. You have clearly indicated to us that what we are doing is not what the congregation wants and it's not what the membership wants. So we're going to try some very different things. But what we do need is we need your support, your ideas, your input. So on the 16th, we'll be meeting in our usual place, but we really, really need you to be there to say, these things we like, these things we don't. We will be looking at different topics, and we will be doing it in a very different way. It's another example of change will come to everything. So really, we want your support. We will be contacting you and doing a much better job of marketing what we do. Thank you.
Good morning. Just very briefly, there's an announcement in the bulletin, but just a reminder, next Sunday after worship, directly after worship down in the fellowship hall, we'll have a potluck luncheon to kick off the new program year. Please bring your own table service and your own silverware. We will provide drinks. And this is strictly potluck. If we get 20 salads, we'll all eat healthy. And if we get 20 desserts, we'll all just pig out and have a good time. So we hope everybody will mark their calendars and be there. Thanks.
Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Please join me in a call to worship. Behold, God is doing a new thing. The Holy One, who created heaven and earth, forms us fresh today. Amen. Please join me in a prayer of confession. O God, our God, we confess that we have not always lived for you. You have invited us into a new life, yet we have closed our eyes and ears and hearts against that invitation. You have shown us the way to love, yet we have sometimes chosen exclusive old ways over inclusive new ways. Enter our lives, God, once again. Create in us a renewed openness to your love, that we may share your love with others. Amen. We'll take a moment for silent prayers of confession. Jesus Christ sets us free. We are forgiven people. Alleluia. Amen.
Oh,
So happy to see you all. I think we might have a few more. This is great. Today, or this weekend, is a holiday weekend. Does anybody know which holiday we are celebrating? Anybody? That's exactly right. Labor Day. No, the Labor Day weekend marks lots of things. For one thing, it marks the end of the summer. And sometimes that makes us sad. But also, it makes us excited because next week, you'll start school again. How many of you are going back to school next week? Good, good. But also, Labor Day weekend is a time to think about all the people that do things that make our lives better. There's sometimes we just don't spend time thinking about those people. For instance, the garbage man. What would life be like without someone that picked up your garbage at your house? It would be pretty awful. The trash would mount up. And it'd be kind of nasty if he didn't come around or she didn't come around once a week and get your garbage.
I know, because last spring I traveled to a country that didn't have garbage people. And when people needed to get rid of their trash, they just took it and threw it outside the cities in a big dump and by the streets. And it was messy and it was smelly, but it's the only thing they could do with all their trash. You think of somebody else that might make your life better that you don't always think about. Anybody think? The mailman. Absolutely, the mailman who brings our mail every day. Can you imagine if we didn't have anybody to bring our mail? That would be tough. There are lots of people. And so tomorrow I encourage you to think of people who make your life better by what they do. Now you may think that you don't have a job. I mean, who here has a job? Anybody have a job they get a paycheck for? Nobody? Well, that's kind of what I thought. But actually, you do have a job. And your job is to be a child, to enjoy life, to play, to have fun, to discover God's world, and to love the people around you, and to learn everything you can. Those of you that are going back to school, your job is to study and learn about God's world. So you, too, are a laborer. And I'm thankful for each of you. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for all the people that make our lives better. Help us to make the lives of others better. Amen. All right. You may go back to your families.
The first reading today comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 98. Listen now for the word of God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, our Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it and lives in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Second reading this morning is from Mark 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands. He said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. And then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, fornications, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Under the warm Jamaica sun, with the Caribbean Sea as the backdrop, mission teams from Gates Presbyterian Church have served God in several different ways at the Green Island Basic School. Some groups have painted the interior of the school. Others, they have painted the exterior. One group built a fence out of discarded truck tires, and yet another created a playhouse in the school playground. Different jobs, different groups, different years. However, when the Jamaican women come out of the kitchen carrying trays of sandwiches made from fresh Jamaican bread, everyone responds the same. They stop what they're doing. They head up the hill, the small hill, to the church. They rummage through backpacks to find their own. They whip open their backpack and pull out their hand sanitizer and begin cleaning their hands, anticipating the wonderful lunch that's in front of them. Searching, scrubbing, praying, eating. The ritual has been the same year after year, group after group. Was it that kind of hand washing that has Jesus in an uproar in the second reading this morning? Was Jesus really that upset because the Pharisees wondered why the disciples chose not to wash their hands before eating? Honestly, if he was that upset, I'm on the side of the Pharisees on this one. I too think it's pretty disgusting that those men dug into their meals without washing their hands. I too might have wrinkled my nose and asked, why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? Well, of course, there is more to the story. It was not about washing. Not as we know it. These folks knew nothing about germs. Thus, their question was not about good health habits, but was about good faith habits. The Jewish law clearly stated that one must be clean to be in relationship with God. The law gave strict how-to about what cleanliness was and how to get that way. Washing your hands was on that very long list. And there were many, many others. For instance, eating camels made you unclean. In fact, some scholars believe that the rigid compliance to these laws
was a way of the community saying, I'm not a Roman, I'm a Jew. The laws gave Jews a solid identity while living. Oops, I'm having microphone issues. The laws gave Jews a solid identity while living in the occupied territory of the Roman Empire. Now remember, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus grew up in a Jewish home. He no doubt was taught to respect these laws. He knew the importance of them. He understood them as spiritual practices. But he also understood them as spiritual barriers. Barriers to spreading God's love to those beyond the Jewish tradition. Jesus just didn't like that us versus them tone of the cleanliness laws. Look at us. We're holy. We wash our hands. Look at them. They're sinners. They have dirty hands. You've got it all wrong, Jesus said. He tells these religious leaders, we're all welcomed in the kingdom of God, even people with dirty hands. What really matters is your heart and what comes out of your heart. As most of you know, I grew up in the South in the 60s, in the middle of the civil rights movement. I well remember the story of Grace Baptist Church. Indeed, it was Grace that this congregation had to learn during these days. Grace Baptist Church was a congregation of well-educated, well-to-do white people. One summer morning, a group of African-American men and women climbed the front steps of Grace Baptist Church. They had planned to worship there. And as the visitors got closer to the front door, the man at the door quickly and quietly shut the door. The prospective worshipers were not allowed in the worship building. They were the wrong color. They had dirty hands, so to speak. Inside, people uncomfortably talked among themselves. What should we do? Well, most sat steadfast in their seats. And the pastor began the scheduled service with the doors closed. But not everyone stayed in their seats. Some got up. They left the service. They joined their African-American brothers and sisters on the sidewalk and together sang the beloved spirituals of generations past. The days ahead were hard ones for this congregation. They were filled with long, contentious meetings. But eventually, their church door was opened. Their church door was open to everyone. Everyone who wanted to worship God. And the Christian identity of this congregation was changed forever. Such in-your-face discrimination appalls us. But it also invites us to explore our own definition of people with dirty hands. Who are they in 2012? Who are they? I'm often frustrated with conversations defining what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. I hear it in political speeches. or hear it in casual conversation. I hear it in theological debates. It comes from both conservatives and liberals. We seem to have a strong need to create identifying boundaries around being a Christian. To, like the Pharisees, determine who is in and who is out. All sorts of issues are lifted up, which frankly have "they eat with dirty hands" ring to them. I confess, I tend to agree with those who think just like me, and I disagree with those who don't. But isn't that exactly what the Pharisees did? This biblical story challenges me to ask the very painful question, who do I point to and discreetly whisper, "dirty hands"? Who do we point to and discreetly whisper, "dirty hands"? What are our unspoken rules for who is in and who is out? For instance, is our welcome mat truly out to the prostitute who works less than 10 minutes from here? Is the door truly open to a gay couple who walks in holding hands? And would we heartily greet an illegal migrant worker who is picking apples on the farm just west of here? Who do we call the people with dirty hands? The writer of Mark wrote his gospel to his own church. It was a typical early church struggling to determine their own identity, a struggle that has continued through the centuries for the Christian church, a struggle that continues for us today. Who is in and who is out? Yet Mark's story shouts that Jesus came to bring a new day, a new way, a new covenant. Christian identity is within our hearts, not within the law. Jesus invites us to his table to share supper with him. He invites those who have scrubbed their hands and those who have dirty hands. We are all invited to the table. So let us then come and let us break bread together around the table. Amen.
Thank you.
We invite all who believe in Jesus Christ to come to the table this morning. The communion liturgy is in the back of the green book. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him.
Lift up your hearts.
Give
thanks to God, for God is good.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, you invite the poor and the sinful to take their place in the festive assembly of the new covenant. May your church always honor the presence of the Lord in the humble and the suffering. And may we learn to recognize each other as brothers and sisters gathered together around your table. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, born among us, and who lived with us, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend to sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring in your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death which sends the world, and telling his resurrection to all people.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his closest group of friends, his disciples. And at that meal, he took his bread after giving thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat, remembering me." And in the same way, he took the wine and poured it in his cup. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me." And we are invited to the table. This morning we'll be sharing communion by intention, the ancient custom of which you come forward and break the bread and dip it in the juice at your desire.
Let us pray. God of grace, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. May this food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you in the days to come. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concerns.
Marge Westfall, hopefully Jack will be celebrating his 94th birthday on this Friday the 7th.
That's great news. I have two prayers of concern. One, Margaret Belt's aunt was a victim of the floods in Louisiana and lost everything she owns, so keep her in your prayers. And Ed Cohen's brother suddenly died from a heart attack last night, his youngest brother. So please keep Ed and his family in your prayers.
Whit Beckett, prayers for my cousin's family. My cousin John Beckett died a couple of days ago in Texas. After a long and enjoyable life.
Jan Buettner, I was on the phone this week with Doris Barney. Some of you remember her. She came to this church for several years before she moved to Florida. Her mom's 91 and is in the hospital right now and is not doing very well, so they just don't know how much longer she's going to be with us. But so prayers for that family. Thanks.
Let us pray. God of all people, you call us to love you and to love our neighbors. You send us your Son, Jesus, to teach us how to do so. Help us, O God, to release barriers that prevent us from being fully loving people. This morning, we pray for those battling the floodwaters of Hurricane Isaac. Fill them with strength for these difficult days. Open hearts to generous sharing. And we lift up to you farmers in the Midwest who are struggling with drought. Help us to hear their pain rather than complain about rising cost of food. And we give you thanks for the bounty of our own home gardens and for local soup kitchens who have served our vegetables in their missions. Help us to find ways to be advocates for food sufficiency throughout the world. This morning, we pray for children returning to school and for their teachers. May good relationships develop between students and teachers. May both discover the wonder of your world while they explore the lessons of their classrooms. And we ask you, O God, to hear us now as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
God of the universe, we give you thanks for all the many blessings that you have bestowed on us. On this Labor Day weekend, we ask that you guide us to ways in which our own labors and resources can be used for the peace and justice of your world. Amen.
Now go into this beautiful day knowing that we go with the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord give you peace.
got to keep it short and sweet. We got to just make the booklets.